Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
We're going to actually start with reading the Word together. I love the Word of God. I love it because it is the way that we get to know Him, and it is also the way that we get to transform our lives by when we read and we obey the Word of God. So I love it passionately. I love reading it, and I thought it would be great for us to read the Word of God together. So I'm going to get you guys to stand up. I know we've been standing up, sitting down a little bit, but you can stand up one last time before we get into this. And I want to start the title. If you're going to take notes when you sit back down, the title of the message is Living with a Clean Heart. And we are reading out of Psalm 51, verses 10 to 13. So I'm going to get us all to read this out loud together, because there is something that takes place. When we speak the Word of God, God tells us that His Word does not return void. So there's a transaction, there's something that happens spiritually when we speak the Word of God. So there is power in it, and I believe when we speak it corporately, something shifts spiritually. So I want us to say this loudly and strongly, and we're going to read this obviously up on screen behind me so you guys can read it with me, and let's go for it. So, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Well, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of the Word of God. And I pray that as we gather around it together, that our minds will be renewed, that our hearts will be transformed, that they will be open to what you want to speak to each of us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, take a seat. Thank you, team. Let's thank the team. I want to welcome Jordan. This is his first Sunday here on the drums. He's amazing. He's a little bit of a favourite. He's one of my son's friends. And just so you know, he's single. So, you know, like, feel free to go and introduce yourself to him later, girls. He's so lovely. Anyway, I know he'll tell me off, but that's too bad. All right, well, you know what? I love this scripture, and I love it with a passion. It's a piece of scripture that I have sat in for many years, and I love it because I love walking with God with a clean heart. And I know what the difference is when I don't walk with a clean heart. And a clean heart is the product of walking closely with God. And there is peace, and there is joy, and there is freedom when we walk with a clean heart. But when we walk with a heart that's weighed down with our sin or with unforgiveness, with just the distractions of this world, there is we know the difference, right? And I know for all of us probably sitting here, we know the difference of what it is to walk with a heart that's heavy rather than walking with a clean heart. But to live with a clean heart really is joy. It doesn't mean our circumstances are always perfect, but there's peace and joy found with a clean heart. And God wants every single one of us in this room today to be able to walk through life with a clean heart. So the psalm written by David, it was written by King David. I want to give you a little bit of context about the psalm before we delve into it a little bit further. King David was at home when he wrote this psalm. It was after a period of time where he had had a monumental fail. So he had sent his men out to war, and one evening he was on the rooftop of his house, for those of you who don't know this story, and he saw a beautiful woman by the name of Bathsheba, and he decided that he wanted to be with that woman. So he called her into his home, and he had spent the night with her. He found out somewhat days later, I guess, that she was actually pregnant as a result of their night together. So he called for her husband Uriah back from the battlefield so that they could spend a night together, they could be intimate, and that would cover up his sin and what had happened with the adultery with Bathsheba. Uriah was a very faithful man, and he chose not to spend the night with his wife because he felt that his friends were out in the battlefield and that it wouldn't be right for him to have that I guess, the pleasure of being with his wife. So the next night, David got him up to his home and got him drunk so that in an attempt to get him again to go and spend the night with his wife, and that didn't work. So then he sent him back out to the battlefield, and he sent instructions to the commander of his army, thank you, that's the word I'm looking for. I was going, battalion, what's the right word? Of his army, and they sent instructions to say, put him onto the front line and ensure that he gets killed in battle. So David arranged for his murder. So monumental failure, right? If you're going to talk about like a scale of sin of 1 to 10, like you've got adultery in there, you've got lies and deceit, you've got cover-up, you've got drunkenness, you've got murder. It's kind of right up there, right? If you're looking at this on the scale, if you were to rate sin. And the thing that has always got me, though, with the life of King David is that he has this monumental fail. But right throughout Scripture, David is defined as a man after God's own heart. His actions did not define him. The kings, if you read the book of Kings, that every king just about is compared to David. It was compared to whether they lived wholeheartedly like David or whether they didn't live wholeheartedly like David. David was lined up in the lineage of Jesus. So Jesus came through the line of David. So his actions did not end up defining him. And I think some of you need to know today that the same for you, that your actions do not define you. You've got these self-proclaimed definitions over you, or self-imposed definitions that God wants to eradicate out of your heart and out of your life this morning. And I think we can, if we can understand, I think this psalm gives us a really clear clue as to why David was named as someone who is a man after God's own heart. So Nathan the prophet actually came to David. So God revealed David's sin to Nathan the prophet, and he came to him and said, hey, look, I know what happened and what's gone on. And rather than David denying what he did or running away from what he did, he sat down and he penned this psalm. He got before God, he came before him, and he acknowledged his wrong actions and his sin before God, and he repented for them. And as a result, he was forever and a day has been called a man after God's own heart. So before we delve into the scripture a little bit more, I just want to define what the Bible means by the heart, so that we're all on the same page first. This definition is by an organization called Active Christianity, and I think it's up behind me on screen. And it reads, the heart in the Bible was thought to be the control center from which all of our decisions were made. It is the place where you have your will, your attitude and intentions, and which is the source of your thoughts, your actions and your words. The heart is the core of who you are as a person. Your heart is essentially you. So it's incredibly important, right, that we have our heart right before God and that we live with a clean heart, because out of it comes every part of who we are. All right, so let's delve into a little bit of the scripture. The first thing I want to pick out of this psalm of Psalm 51 is that God can be trusted with your heart. I love that David, when he mucked up, he still knew that he could return to God, albeit he had to have someone confront him about what was going on first. But at that time, he then returned to God, and he knew that his heart and who he was could be trusted with God. And I've got a little bit of a confession to make. When I found out I was speaking this morning, I was actually a little bit grumpy about it. Now, I always consider it a deep privilege to bring the Word of God and to be able to speak the Word of God, because I love the Word of God and I love that it can transform our lives. However, I was actually away for a lot of this week, and when you come to speak, most of your week building up to this Sunday is usually in the back. It's always sitting there in the back of your mind, you're preparing, and so I was a bit grumpy, to be honest. But God really probably gave me a little slap on the hand, because in this moment when I sat down to prepare and he gave me this message very quickly, but he also gave me a word of which I believe a specific word for some people in this room is that God can be trusted with your heart. And some of you have walked through some experiences in life where you felt like perhaps that God can't be trusted. Perhaps there has been things that you have asked of God and that hasn't come to pass. Perhaps you're waiting for the salvation of a son or a daughter, and you've been waiting for a very long time, and you're like, God, I don't know if this is going to happen. Perhaps you've prayed for someone to be healed like we did this morning with this expectation of incredible faith. And maybe that person hasn't been healed. I know what that feeling is like. 10 years ago, my brother-in-law passed away from cancer, and he left behind my niece and my two nephews. And I went through a season where my heart was struggling. Even in the role as a pastor, I still struggled with God. I had these fleeting thoughts of like, is God even real if he can leave my beautiful nephews and niece without a dad? Like, I struggled to trust him and trust that moment. It was a real wrestle to continue to trust him. But God can be trusted. I can tell you 10 years later that God can be trusted. Maybe you've just felt like he's let you down. Maybe the image of God our Father isn't a good one for you because of the impact of your earthly father. Maybe you've had a father figure who has betrayed you, who has let you down. And so when you come to talk with God the Father, you're like, there's this image and there's this distance between you and God the Father because of your earthly father and what he's represented. Maybe you're one of those people where you just feel like you have to be responsible for everything. Maybe you're an eldest child and it's like, if I don't do it, it doesn't happen. You know, and I get that faith without works is dead, but we also have to learn to trust God and not manipulate or maneuver. And I've been in that space, right? And it's exhausting when you feel like you've got to do everything rather than trusting God to work it out and rather than allowing him to be your shepherd. So how do we learn to trust God with our hearts? How do we learn to know that he's the safe place? And it really isn't rocket science. The great thing is that the Bible and walking with God is very simple, and really the step that we need to take is just to be with him. It's to spend time with Jesus. It's to come to him and to come to him on a daily basis. And I want to emphasize that it is on a daily basis. Honestly, guys, if you come in here on Sunday and you walk back out again, that's great, and it's great that you're here. But God wants to connect with you every single day of the week. He wants to be friends with you. He wants to engage with you. He wants to show you that he can be trusted. And there is so much peace and joy found when we go to him every single day. And what does that look like? It means that we pray and we talk with him. We read his word. We obey his word. We observe the Sabbath. And, you know, if you've been here over the last few months, we've actually been talking about all of those things. They're called the spiritual disciplines. And so we actually learn to observe those disciplines, learn to pray. And we've been doing this series on these topics. Next week, we start a series on the word of God. And we don't do these series just by mistake of like, oh, well, you know, what's the next thing we should preach on? We do it because it lays an incredible foundation in our lives, and it teaches us how to walk strongly with God and how to learn to trust him. And when we implement these spiritual disciplines, our lives can change and we can walk with a clean heart. So I want to encourage you to implement and do the spiritual disciplines on a daily basis. And one of the other disciplines while I'm on this is a little bit of a hobby horse of mine, but I'm kind of passionate about it because I saw these statistics the other day and I was like, holy heck. Do you know that 87% of people sleep with their phone next to their bed? I hear a few nervous laughs, right? Because it's like, probably if we took a show of hands, I'm sure we'd be representative here. Do you know, 20-something, I don't know the exact figure, but 20-something percent of people actually sleep with their phones. So they sleep with their phones in their hand, or, you know, they fall asleep with it and it falls next to them. And I'm seeing some kind of guilty smiles. But what happens when we have our phones next to our bed? What happens in the morning? Yeah, push the snooze. we get up and what's the first thing we do? We look at our phone, we open up Instagram, we open up the New Zealand Herald app, or, you know, and it's God is the first thing that we should be running to on a daily basis. Put the phone out of your side of your room, even for a health perspective as well, but outside of your room or on the other side of the room, and get a good old traditional alarm clock if you need to be woken up. But can I encourage you, when you start your day with God, even if you've got young kids and babies crying, dying, just take an extra couple of minutes. Trust me, they won't die. Been there, done that, and they'll survive. And just spend a couple of minutes, you know, just being with God, just maybe reciting the Lord's Prayer or Psalm 23 or just something to start your day with God. And slowly, consistently, you will find that you'll continue to trust Him in a greater way. So God can be trusted with your heart. The next thing out of Psalm 51 is God can change your heart. You can actually become like Jesus. You know what? God actually, that is his desire for us, is that we would grow to become like Jesus. And this psalm is teaches us that we can be confident in that. Romans 8:29 says, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." You know, I love the boldness and the strength of David's prayers in this, and the way that he wrote this. And I want you just to imagine that he's, you know, like Nathan the prophet has confronted him. He goes to his room and he gets before God, maybe next to his bed, or he has a harp, because it's what he used to put a lot of his psalms to songs. And he starts pouring out his heart before God, and he goes, "God, create in me a clean heart. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Renew a steadfast spirit within me." I can imagine him calling out the strength of these words. And when we pray words like that, actually God's faithful to answer those. And do you know what? The word create here is the Hebrew verb bara, which is used in Genesis 1 for when God created the heavens and the earth. And He created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. So I want to encourage you, if you're in a place where your heart feels empty, your heart feels broken, your heart feels just like nothing, God can create something beautiful out of nothing. And when we trust Him and we walk with Him, we can become more like Him as we allow God, and when we pray those kind of prayers of "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." Beautiful scripture that I've loved and meditated on and quoted for many years comes from Ezekiel 36. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you will do them." Powerful scripture. You know, some years ago, our family went through a really difficult season. And one of the hardest seasons in our lives as a family. And my heart, as a result of the journey that we walked through, and I'm not proud to say it, but my heart had become very, very hardened. It had become hardened to people. It had become hardened somewhat even to God. And it took my every part of me to turn to God, probably much like David. There was just this heaviness, would have been this heaviness in him, but I knew that God was the place to turn to. And God highlighted this scripture, Ezekiel chapter 36. And I took that scripture, and for weeks or days on end, I would walk down the streets. We could see this country road, and I would get down to this country road and I would take this scripture and I would say, "God, would you give me a new heart? Would you take this heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh?" And I would literally be yelling out this scripture because there's no one around, and I was just so hard and I was so broken, and I needed God to give me a clean and a heart of flesh. And I would yell it to God for days on end until finally He started to change my heart, and there was actually something in me that wanted to spend time with God, because up to that time I was like, even just to spend time with Him felt like an effort for me. But God started to transform and soften my heart again to Him and to people, and the power of using the Word of God to transform us is so significant, guys. Look at verse 12. It says, "And uphold me by your generous spirit." Another translation says, "Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." It's a little bit like what I felt like. I wasn't willing to be in the presence of God. I didn't want to be. And I suspect David was like that. And I suspect a lot of us are like that, you know, throughout our lives, where it's this this wrestle between the flesh and the spirit, and our flesh wants to do one thing, our spirit wants to do another thing. And David actually prayed and he said, God, give me a willing spirit. We can actually ask when we want our hearts to change. We can ask God to help us, give us a willing spirit to want to change and to want to walk with God. And it's okay that sometimes we don't. That's okay. But keep coming back to the Word of God. And can I encourage you? I want to throw out a challenge today. Because so often, church, I believe that we can come in on a Sunday and we can listen to great messages preached, but then we can walk out again and we don't actually change and our actions don't necessarily change. But one of the greatest things in my life that I have seen as the evidence is when I start using the Word of God to change me. So today is the 1st of October, and I want to challenge you that for the next 31 days, that you take these three verses 10 to 13, you take these scriptures and you declare them and pray them every single day for the next 31 days. And I'm going to make you this promise that you will see a change in your life. You will see something change, no matter whether you're in a good place at the moment, because our heart constantly needs renewing, right? So even if you're in the greatest place, there's still something that God can bring greater joy, can bring greater passion, can bring greater hope into your life. If you're in a hard place, then if you're calling out to God and declaring these verses for the next 31 days, trust me, there will be something that will take place. There will be hope and there will be life that will come. So I want to challenge you with that. I want to get you out there talking about it. And you know what? Real life change happens in the context of relationship. So I want you to talk about it. I want you to talk about it with someone else. Be accountable to each other. Maybe jump into your group if you go to a group midweek. Talk about it in your group and say, hey, guys, I'm going to do this. And share about it and be confident in what you're going to do and go, all right, we're just going to trial this. If you're not in a group, can I encourage you to get in a group? Because honestly, real life change happens in the context of relationship. To demonstrate that, I want you to think about in the last 10 messages that have really changed you that you hear on a Sunday. Probably, I don't know, possibly difficult for you to kind of really think of 10. But then think about 10 people or 10 conversations you've had with people that have changed you, right? It's people, it's relationships, it's taking the Word of God, it's declaring it, but then it's wrestling it out with each other. And it's actually keeping each other accountable. And iron sharpens iron. There's something about when we come and we encourage each other. We have spiritual friends. Everyone needs a spiritual friend, and you can find that in groups. So I really encourage you, if you're not in one, to jump into one. So, okay, so that's my challenge to you guys. 31 days, right? Who's with me? That's good. All right, the last thing I really want to pick up on from this psalm is verse 13. It says, then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Do you know that God can be trusted with your heart? He can change your heart, and he can also put courage in your heart. Look at this incredible verse. I want you to notice the first word in that verse. It's powerful. You know, one word can make all the difference. It says then. So then you go, why is the then there? It's there because what we're saying is that once God has, you have turned to God and he has cleansed your heart and you are walking steadfastly with him, then you are able to have the overflow. Jesus says there's something in us that when Jesus changes our world, that there is an overflow in our lives. And when we live with a clean heart, we want to talk about him. We want to share about him. Another translation from the Message translation of that scripture, it says, give me a job teaching rebels your way so the lost can find their way home. We all have people in our world, you guys, who need to find their way home. And God can give us the courage to be able to share with those people about him. And I love talking to some of you in the foyer or during midweek. And I love hearing the stories of how you share your faith with people, whether it's at work or family members. And it's really infectious when I hear some of these stories that you guys share. But I also know that there's some of you that it's actually a real challenge to share your faith. And that's okay. I've been there, and you know, it's like, where do I even start with sharing my faith? How do I start talking about Jesus and what he's done in my life? And how do I invite someone to church? Like, that would just be freaky, right? Can I tell you again, it's not rocket science. It's actually, just to start really simply, it's about building relationship. And it's praying for people and, you know, baking people cakes, chatting to the person on the treadmill next to you and building relationship with them at the gym. You know, like it's one simple step, one after another. And, you know, I had a friend when my children were really young. I had a friend that we lived next door to each other, and she wasn't a Christian. And I really felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to start praying for her salvation. She'd never been to church, didn't know God. And this particular friend, I was actually, in all honesty, really intimidated by her. I was a young mum. I spent my days in track pants and, you know, just figuring out this young mum thing. And she was quite a young mum as well, but she owned her own business. She was very professional. I'd see her drive home and she'd get out of a really nice car and a really flash suit. And, you know, like, I was just like, wow, I was just intimidated by her. And but I really felt prompted to build a relationship with her. So I would kind of just make excuses to go over there. I'd bake a cake. I'd go and offer to look after her boys. So we started building this relationship. And she knew that we were pastors. We were just young pastors. We'd planted our first church. And so she knew that. But I didn't really talk about God. We just built a friendship. And then one day she asked me about my faith and asked me about God. And the crazy thing is, right, I'd been praying for her. So I should have expected this moment, right? But I was completely caught off guard, and I just absolutely fumbled my way through. You know when you get really nervous and your voice starts quavering? And your throat dries up and you're like, that was me in that moment. Like, I was just so like taken aback that she asked me about my faith, and I just didn't know what to say, and I fumbled my way through, and I just remember going home just thinking, I completely botched that, and I've probably ruined her whole perception of Jesus and Christianity. And but you know, God kept putting a little bit more courage in my heart, and we continued spending time together, and we continued talking about God. And sometime later she made a decision for Jesus, and I still get a little bit emotional talking about this, because she made a decision, and then her husband made a decision, and her children made a decision. And it was only a year or so later that the eldest little son, who was 9 at the time, we got a phone call, and he'd had a severe asthma attack and he passed away. And I still to this day, I think, I just thank God that they've got God in their lives to have walked this journey of grief for many, many years now, and they're still planted in church, loving God, having the Holy Spirit walking, and the church family walking with them through a grief that never really goes away. God can put courage in your heart, you know, to share your faith, and He wants you to do that. We're invited to do that, to share about Jesus with others. So to bring this to a close, you guys, like I said at the beginning, I know what it is to live with a heart weighed down. And I know what it is to live with a clean heart. And God wants every single one of us living with a clean heart. We can trust Him with our heart. We can have our heart changed by Him just by being with Him. And we can become like Him. And then we can also have courage in our hearts so that we can actually do what Jesus did. We're invited, which is amazing. We're invited to do what Jesus did. What a privilege to be able to share the gospel.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online? To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.